From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, Christ Selecting and Directing His Disciples. In the course of this message, we've learned the cost of discipleship, total commitment. We've seen that the disciples' commission is to carry the gospel to lost souls. Also, Christ has warned those who serve Him against pride. He's emphasized the need for genuine love for sinners. Finally, we'll see the need to stay in constant communion with Christ if we're to serve Him effectively. First, today's hot topic, as Dr. Cairn speaks of the world's largest Bible producer in China.
Yesterday I commented on the foolish and ultimately useless attempts of the Chinese communist authorities to stop the flow of Christian literature and thought to their people. Today I want you to hear another angle to that story. According to the Times of London, the 50 millionth copy of the Bible recently came off the presses of the only officially authorized Bible publisher in China. Demand for the Bible is soaring in officially atheist China at a time when meteoric economic growth is testing the country's allegiance to communist doctrine, the Times reported. Now, the demand in China for Bibles is such that Amity Printing, a joint venture between Chinese Christian Charity and the United Bible Societies, a Protestant organization, can barely keep pace. Early next year, it will move to a new, much larger factory on the edge of the eastern city of Nanjing to become the world's single biggest producer of Bibles. However, in careful adherence to China's laws that prohibit evangelizing, the Bible is not on sale in mainstream Chinese bookshops, but through a distribution system managed by the official church, such as stalls set up for people attending morning service. The official church is the organization that the communists hope to keep under control. It's not representative of the overall growth of the gospel in China, where unregistered churches are flourishing despite all sorts of official opposition and persecution. Disappearances, imprisonments, and constant threats have not been able to stop the growth of the gospel. Nor will official limitations on Bible sales halt its flow into the hands of millions. For though the Bibles that are being printed will not be in public sale, it will not be long until they are distributed across China in unprecedented numbers. The entrance of thy words giveth light, said the psalmist, and China is about to prove just how true that is. Now, let the significance of all this sink in. Atheists and secularists have long prophesied the demise of the Bible. Voltaire believed that within a generation of his time, it would be forgotten. Voltaire is now just a footnote of European history, forgotten by all but a few misguided literati, and his home became the headquarters of the Bible Society. Now we have the world's largest atheist nation with a hunger for the Bible. 50 million Bibles in China is just a drop in the ocean, but soon that drop will multiply into a torrent. The Bible has never taken hold of a nation without having profound effects, and the same will be true in China. Millions already acknowledge Christ as their Savior and Lord. We pray that more will come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Who can tell what an impact it will have on the world if and when China's millions acknowledge Christ? When Hudson Taylor and other missionaries labored in China, their work gave fair indications of success. Then came the Boxer Rebellion, Japanese occupation, civil war, and finally, communist dictatorship. For a time, all seemed lost for the gospel in the land of China. Now, things are changing, and the long-awaited harvest for the labors of long ago will finally be reaped. God's word never returns to him void. It will prevail, and it will produce the result he has ordained, and no atheist government will be able to stop it.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently shall lead those that are with young. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them close to his heart, and gently shall lead those with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently, so gently, shall lead those with
God. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
your neighbor? Is any man of any description in need of the grace of God that God brings across your path, and you serve him not out of duty but out of love for God and love for him? And I have to tell you, brethren, this is where our discipleship fails. And I include me there. This is where we fail. We have a religion of knowledge, and we ought to know what we believe. We have a religion of truth. We ought to rejoice in that truth. But I fear we have a religion of very little heart. I've mentioned to you before, I've been reading a couple of books recently on the ministry of the Wesley and the early Methodists. It's easy to pick holes in Wesley's theology. It's easy to find fault with Wesley's imperious, at times egotistical manner of behavior. One thing you can't find fault with is this: the emphasis that the early Methodists put on what they called, and I have to confess, theologically developed in a wrong way, but nonetheless, it consumed them, the thought of perfect love. When John Wesley went into a town and was literally dragged by the hair of his head from one end of the town to the other, and to get up to bless and preach to the very people who did it, and tell them the love of Christ. I want to tell you, that's something that I think we know very little about. The compassion of a heart in love with Christ, and a heart in love with perishing sinners. It's easy to look at the sinner and say, he's filthy. And what do you think you were and I was by nature? It's easy to put them off with a Pharisee's wrinkling of the nose and say, he stinks in the nostrils of God and in mine. Listen, it is true we are to hate sin with a passion, but let's start by hating it in here, in our own hearts. Let us realize that if we don't serve perishing men and women because we love God and because we have a God-given love for sinners, we'll never do anything for him. How do you get that? Well, that's where we finish with the story of Mary and Martha, which emphasizes the chief concern of Christ's disciples. It's a very human story of two good, even great women. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Martha, like most women who have people come visiting, she has gone out of her mind. Is the house clean? Have I the best dishes out? Have I cooked enough? and she's run ragged. Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha asked the Lord to reprimand her. And that's when he says, "Martha, Martha, you're careful, full of care, you're in turmoil and you're troubled about many things, but of one thing there is need, and that's what Mary has chosen, and I won't take it away from her." What was it? To sit at Jesus' feet. Now, Martha's work was necessary. Let's not get on her case. Martha's work was necessary. You fellows are out at work all day and you come home and there's no food on the table. And the children have never been washed. And the floor's never been swept. And yesterday's dishes have never been washed. Hey, don't tell me you're going to say, "Now I'm glad you were studying your Bible all day." Her work was necessary. But you see, Mary's attitude was to govern all work. One thing necessary, to sit at Jesus' feet. And listen, if we're going to pay the cost of discipleship, whatever that cost may be, if we're going to fulfill the commission of discipleship and give men and women the truth and the light of eternity, if we're going to obey Christ's caution and escape pride in the flesh, if we're going to have that compassion and love for God and for man, it will only come as we sit at Jesus' feet. I'll give you an outline and you can follow it through for yourself. Here in our text, Mary sat at his feet for instruction. In John chapter 11, at the death of her brother, she sat at Jesus' feet to bring her griefs to him. In John chapter 12, and she pours out her ointment, and there she's at Jesus' feet, pouring out her love and her devotion. And that's the one thing that's needful. Men and women, we need to spend time at the feet of Christ. And in this busy, busy world, that's what's to govern everything else. If I haven't time to sit at Jesus' feet because I'm busy doing other things, then my life is utterly out of control. I'm out of control, and I'm losing the focus of the will of God. This must govern sitting at Jesus' feet. This is where you get the calmness when everybody else is going mad all around you. This is where you get the faith when you're challenged by circumstances that would appear to say your life, your business, your home, your affairs are going to be destroyed. Sitting at Jesus' feet. This is where you get the love for God. This is where you get the love for man. This is where you get the message and the power to preach it. This is where you get the authority over Satan and all his powers. This is the key to discipleship. I trust this morning that the Lord will direct you and me as disciples into effective spiritual service for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. In a moment, the meeting will be over. Before we leave, every one of us has to honestly face the question, am I Christ's disciple? It's not enough to say, I'm a Baptist or a Presbyterian. Am I Christ's disciple? It's not enough to say, even I believe the Bible's the Word of God. Even the devil believes that. am I Christ's disciple? Or am I still under the control of self and Satan and sin? If you're not saved today, the command of Christ is, follow me. To do that, you've got to come to him. Oh, I trust that this day you'll get to Christ. Mr. Braham and I are here to help you to him. We invite you to come. Come and welcome. If you are saved, what about this life of discipleship? What about it? Remember Drummond's statement, the entrance fee is nothing. The annual subscription is everything. Father in heaven, effectively call lost sinners to Christ today. Create within them, we plead, by the power and action of thy Spirit, a genuine faith and a true repentance that will embrace Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, deliver people from a shallow religious profession, I will follow, but that has little or no spiritual reality. God, our Father, make true disciples here today. And Lord, make true disciples better disciples than they've ever been before. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Grant thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace to be our abiding portion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.